Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
And welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside the episode titled Burnout, Balance, and BS. So we're going to start this episode off by consulting the good book, which is Merriam-Webster. And I wanted to slap out some definitions here so it'd give us a foundation for which we're going to jump from.
Okay.
So first and foremost, burnout is defined as exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. Makes total sense. Sounds about right for all you burnouts out there who are experiencing that. Balance is defined as mental and emotional steadiness, which I thought that was a really nice way to define balance. And then BS is used as a euphemism for bullshit. So there you go. And I got to work the word euphemism into this episode. So I'm very happy. So one of the things you said in the very beginning of this episode that I loved is that nature doesn't burn out. It doesn't tire of being itself. And it was that last part that I was like, damn, that's really good. It doesn't tire of being itself. You made reference to a penguin or a squirrel or whatever it might be. They don't get tired of being what it was intended to be. And it was just a really interesting way to look at another glaring difference that we humans have with Mother Nature. We get tired of being ourselves, which obviously leads to burnout, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. There's a lot to this as to what we hold on to is a truth around this that I think creates the problem to begin with. But the biggest problem is that we don't understand that because we have the ability to choose, it's almost like we don't know that there's this inner guidance that would take us into the thing that we wouldn't get burnt out from. If anything happens with nature is that it dies, right? But human beings do too. Human beings are the only form of nature that spends so much of their life unhappy or depressed or suicidal or with all kinds of addictions or dysfunctions, so many problems. And one of the key, if you look at it, why does this stuff exist? Because we're not doing what we were put here to do. If we were doing those things, we would be happy. We would be fulfilled. We would be progressive. We wouldn't be worried about what our brother is doing. All of the things that cause us worry are based in lies. Nature doesn't worry. It does what it does, what it needs to for today. When it does need to do things for tomorrow, it instinctively knows to do it. It doesn't complain about it. It just does it. It does itself. The penguin does itself. It doesn't complain that it's cold at the South Pole. It just sits there.
With an egg on its feet for months at a time, right. Protecting its brood. True.
Yeah, it does itself. Human beings don't. And we don't because other people have put ideas in our head that are basically not true. Somebody, I don't remember who originally said this, but somebody said the biggest problem with society is that we've got too many options, right? And is that a problem? It's a problem when we think all the options are ours. They're not. Just because it's an option doesn't make it ours. It doesn't make it our option, right? I really believe that everybody has an individual purpose. And our job is to find out what that is and do it. And when we do it, we find out that we're happy, we're fulfilled, life goes relatively well. When you compare that to a person where you look at their life and you're like, holy shit, this person's life is a fucking train wreck. Why is their life a fucking train wreck? Because there are... Number one, the foundation of how they think about their life and everything is off to begin with, and then it just compounds them out of itself from there. So it ends up you know, like a stack of dominoes, just, you know, tumbling. You know, it's one untruth after another, after another, after another, and a reaction and a reaction and a reaction and a reaction. And this is where you end up getting to like the burnout. And then, you know, we look at it. I think society and our health system looks at this and goes, well, how do we fix that? Oh, we're not balancing our life correctly. Well, we're assuming that we're supposed to live that way to begin with. What if we're not? What if we never were meant to live that way to begin with? What if the idea was find your purpose, right? And stay in your lane and do your thing, you know, do the thing that's going to make you the most happy in life. And you won't have all these other problems,
right?
You know, but, and then it becomes generational, because once one generation's off, we then pass it down unconsciously, like unintentionally, I should say. It just becomes, well, that's the way life is. You know, life sucks. Life's a bitch. Yeah. And then you die. You know, that kind of nonsense. And we pass it on from one generation to another.
So. Right. Yeah, no, I love that you bring purpose into this too, because in the episode you talked about how we as humans shouldn't have to push to do anything. You hear a lot about, oh, I gotta push myself to do this or push myself to do that. And there's so many people out there that are doing that right now. And the reason being, I would assume, is because they're not on purpose.
Right.
They're not working in their purpose or doing what they're supposed to be doing. So they're constantly having to push themselves to fall in love with something that they shouldn't even be doing in the first place.
Yeah. And push has a lot of connotations too, like pushing to do, what are you pushing? What is it that you're pushing? Are you pushing yourself to go out and exercise every day? Are you pushing yourself to have conversations with your spouse? Are you pushing yourself to pay attention to your children? Like, okay, so a person who's observing this will say, yeah, but the person has a responsibility to all of those things. True, they have a responsibility to those things, but still doing them is a choice. And if you're going to do it, why not just accept that these are choices that you brought into your life and stop pushing yourself to do them and find a way to do them in joy, right? But that's where the idea of like, well, we got to balance everything so a person can be in joy, so a person doesn't get out of balance. I just don't buy it. I think that's where the bullshit comes in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so let's talk briefly about the BS portion of this, which is the concept of work-life balance, which is such a buzzworthy yet flawed concept for sure. So the question I have is, why is the perception that balance is essential to living a fulfilled life? And I'd also like your take on how that has changed since when you first started your business in the early to mid 90s to today. Was the buzzwords back then about finding balance and zen in your business, or has that just evolved as we've gotten more and more enlightened and access to internet or whatever it might be?
No, there was a lot of work-life balance talk going on back then.
So that's been around.
It's been around a long time. Like I don't know how much of it was around when I would say a kid, like, you know, between 5 and 10. I don't remember hearing that back then, but it was, let's put it this way. It was around from the perspective that people wanted days off. They wanted vacation. They wanted retirement. So all of that has to also do with this work-life balance.
And that's kind of employee mentality, right?
That's where I was going with this. So in order for that to be a subject, you have to ask, why is it a subject? Why do we want time off from something that we love to do? Now, there's natural downtime, right? So I think that everybody wants some natural downtime. But I've also known people who just don't like to take time off. Like, nothing is as fun to them as the work that they do. So you'll hear them say, what am I going to do? Go sit on a beach? Or am I going to go to another restaurant? Or am I going to go to another theme park? Or am I going to go see another sunset over the pyramids? Like, what, you know, I love to work.
Well, I was going to say, you're an example of this. Like, when you take downtime, it's different than most people in the traditional workforce's idea of downtime. You might go sit on a beach somewhere, but you're studying a book, or you're reading, you know, something about how you want to perform at your next seminar, or you're watching a show and you're learning. Like, you take downtime. I don't know if we'd call that balance, because the two things have they're symbiotic. Your work
right.
and your life are one in the same. And I think that's where I get a little bristled about work-life balance. I mean, for those of you who believe in that, great, good for you. For me, it's all about those two things, work and life, are interconnected. And when you start to think about, oh, I really need a break from this, or I need a vacation from that, and man, it would be nice to go curl up in a ball somewhere on a mountain and forget about my troubles, I think then and there you might want to be questioning about where you're at in this life, because there's no amount of balance that's going to come into your life that's going to get you to fall back in love with the thing that you have.
Yeah, because it's like, what do you need to get away from? I'm hearing, because I'm in my early 50s, I hear a lot of people that I know that are in my age range, excuse me, talking about retirement. And I even know some people in their 50s that have retired. And I also look at what they do, and it looks very, very boring to me. I have no desire, because people have asked me, like, when are you going to retire? From what? Like, I love what I do. Why would I retire? And if I did retire, what would I do if this is what I love to do the most? Am I going to go sit in a cat, like go build a cabin in the mountains or something and just sit there all day and do what? Read, fish, golf? Like what is it that I would, am I retiring from? And like, I might as well just die at that point because I'm not productive. I love what I'm doing. I don't know why, for what reason I would stop doing that. I mean, I suppose that there could be a reason in the future coming that I'm not aware of, but I don't need a need to not work. I don't view it as, oh my God, I got to go to work. I do get tired just like the next person, and I do take time off or downtime, right? But even in the downtime, I'm doing something that feeds me, and it's not just like a downtime of nothingness. I don't find that rechargeable, the downtime of nothingness. There's a like, I'm a huge consumer, right? So I'm a consumer of information. So some downtime for me might be, like you said, it would be reading a book, it would be studying, it would be observing something from a perspective of learning. But it's not a downtime where I need to sit and look at a sunset, or I need to sit and drink margaritas for a week, and then not, you know, that type of thing. Even, well, you know, because we've traveled a lot together over the years, we find educational things to go do, you know, things where we're learning, and those things are fun for us. So, you know, every once in a while we'll do something like we'll chill out on your boat or something, but you know, that's maybe a couple of hours. And even then the conversations are usually pretty stimulating conversations that we're having. So it's not right. just like, do nothing. You know, it's rare that I do nothing. I'm always doing something, but I enjoy that. It's not stressing me out. I don't feel like I need to escape from any part of my life.
Yeah, you're not taking a week off to do clean out the garage. Like, there's people.
No, who I have an assistant
yes,
that does
you
that.
Do.
Yes.
You pay people for that shit. Yes. So no, it really is. It's just interesting when you stop to think about that, and also, you know, the compartmentalizing of the professional lives and the personal lives. To me, like I said, they're all interconnected and intertwined, and we can be out on the boat, and don't get me wrong, we enjoy ourselves a great deal,
sure.
But balance is organic to me. It's an organic symbiosis between the work life and the personal life. They're one. They've mashed together as one.
Yeah.
You know, now that wasn't always the case for me when I was a school teacher, right? Because as a school teacher, you look forward to your breaks. You need a break from the kids. You need a break from the parents. You know, you look at those 3 months in the summer, and that's like your goal to get to the dangling carrot. You finally get there, and within a week, you're bored out of your freaking mind, and you're ready to get back into it. And then when you talk about, it's when you were talking about this, it reminded me of the questions we get when you're of a certain age. Because you had mentioned that, you know, you're here in your early 50s. The conversation is now, well, when are you going to retire? It's just like people ask, oh, you know, it's a conversation starter about the weather, right? When are you going to retire when you reach a certain age, let's say 50? In your early late 20s, early 30s, it's when are you going to get married? And then it's when are you going to get kids? And then, you know what I mean? So you get these questions at a certain age in your life. And I used to think, you know what, if I teach for 35 years. I'll be able to retire at the age of 60. I'll survive until I can draw a pension, and then I'll golf in the mornings and I'll lounge by the pool in the afternoons. That was my plan. Now, I don't look at retirement as even a thing. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some point in time when I'm going to slow down, but you don't need to do that anymore when you're doing what you love. Like if you're in the arts, if you're, let's say you paint beautiful watercolors, you don't get to age 62 or 65 and say, nope, not going to do that anymore. It's time for me to go off into the sunset. You can paint until you die.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just really interesting to think about how, you know, we can take this concept of work and this concept of life and we put them together and they are as one. So the balance is the organic coming together of those two things.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And so, what I do, I mean, like, I don't know if you would call it a hobby or whatever, but an interest that I've had for a long time is boating. But more I would say from the perspective of like a yachting experience, than, you know, like captaining a boat or something like that. I think it's fun. But it's a different challenge, right? It's not something that I've chosen to explore in the totality of itself. But you know, it's always in the back of my mind, like someday I may want to see if I want to do that more or not. I'm not sure. It's not that important to me, though, that I feel like I need to stop doing anything that I'm doing to go do that. And the other thing is I like to travel, but the travel is also educational. And everything that I take that's educational for me and what we would consider downtime is then turned into experiential content or creativity that fuels everything else that I do in the business.
It's inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is. You know, when you go and you have a next level experience at a private island, you deeply enjoy yourself, but you're also watching how they're going about their business. How are they raising the experience for those around them? When you go stay at a Ritz-Carlton or whether you book a yacht in the Caribbean, you're doing those things because you're enjoying yourself and it's exciting, but you're also challenging that part of your brain that's not allowing you to be stagnant.
Right.
I mean, you take that information and you put it into content that you provide to the people who come to your events. I love that. And I think that's the beauty of doing what we do here is, you know, we're all about company culture here, you know, at Team Nagel. We've got a lot of really good people that we work with. We are a family. We do things both in the office and outside of the office. And many people on the outside would look at that as being, you know, we strike a nice balance. To us, we don't talk about work-life balance here. We just talk about what we can do to better our best and what we can do to come together and work cohesively because that's where the genius is and that's where the brilliant things happen. You know, we might set up a Team Nagel bowling tournament, or we might go shoot guns down at the, you know, the shooting range. We may just get together and sit at somebody's house and watch the Super Bowl or whatever it might be. The reason I bring this up is because it's so easy for our team to come together. There's not a single person on our team you wouldn't spend a great deal of time with. And I think that's the cool part about, that's the balance that I struck in my life because, you know, when I was a teacher, we had teachers, everybody was a teacher. So those were all your friends. But when I went away from teaching, those friends just sort of went away. And it kind of reminds me of the, you know, they're for what you're for, they're for you type, you know, bring TD Jakes into this. Right. It's interesting to see how that works when you're talking about people and humans and what it is that you're working for. Right now, I'm working just for life's experiences. That's really where I've come to. Before, I was working for a check. I was working for a vacation. I was working towards retirement. Now, I'm just working on enjoying myself and finding happiness. It's elusive sometimes. It's not always, you know, incense and peppermints here, but I think you'll agree that, you know, the concept of work-life balance, when you bring them together and realize that they're not separate of one another, you're in a pretty good place.
It's just life.
It's just life. I wrote that down. I wrote down there's no balance. They are both part of the same whole. We call that life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's a couple things that you said, no real questions here, but I love this. In the episode, you said, stop lying to yourself about what you can and can't do. Follow your heart's desire. And I think that's really a mantra that people who are unhappy right now and are striving for work-life balance, maybe they should really stop and take a moment to answer the question, what is it that I want to do?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, because we've talked about this on this show before. Many people are doing maybe what their parents did or somebody told them they should do rather than doing what they want to do. And then there's another thing that I just love. I want this put on a t-shirt somewhere. It just says, accept, don't regret.
There you go.
Accept, don't regret.
That's it.
Everything leads you to that point, and, you know, be grateful for it. And you know what? Balance is.
There's something about that. Freud, if you go all the way back to Freud, he said that psychic emotional health was about acceptance, about learning the things in life that we need to accept that can't be changed, that just are, you know, and accepting those and moving forward instead of resisting it or making up fairy tales or lies or turning it into something that it isn't. And like I've said before, I think a lot of the problems that we have in life are that we believe something that's not true. And then we try to solve a problem that's based in a lie to begin with. It's unsolvable because it's based in a lie, but everybody agrees in the lie. So we keep starting to work to solve the problem. When you get into work-life balance, if you're really coming from the honest truth, there's a lot of lies that have to be unraveled in that for society itself to step into its individual purpose. You know, we have to let go of a lot of romantic ideas about how to live life and the way that we should do things so that the individual can be expressive and live in the purpose of its life. That may mean that my purpose means I'm not going to be there on Christmas, or that I'm not going to give you grandchildren, or that I'm not going to get married, or, you know, that I'm going to do something that other people don't necessarily want me to do because that's not their vision of life. And then they're going to be disappointed. If I take that disappointment on, like, oh, I don't want to disappoint my parents, I better get married and have kids, I'm taking on a lifelong commitment to not disappoint someone else when it's not something that I really want to do. If I don't have the courage to say, I don't think this relationship is the best relationship for me, I don't want to hurt that person, or I've already committed to marrying the person and I don't want to back out now because we've paid all this money for this wedding and all these people are coming and people have made travel plans, whatever. Like, I've known people that have told me they knew it was the wrong decision walking down the aisle, but they didn't know how to stop it. It was like a train. It was right. Like a runaway train at that point. It's a lifelong decision that you're making. There's massive consequences to that because, you know, the next thing's going to be children and the next thing's going to be finances. And you're going to wake up 20 years from now and be like, what the fuck did I do? Right. And then people are really going to be hurt. We got to really think about what we're doing when it comes, you know, and if it's then there's this. Accepting myself and my dream, that's scary. Right. Because that's just me.
You can't point the finger anywhere else but yourself in that regard.
No, it's responsibility.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to take on 100% responsibility for my life and what I'm going to contribute, and it's my choice. So you didn't force me into it. It wasn't your idea. I can't blame you anymore. Excuse me. It's my choice. So now I got to go out and live my choice, and I have to deal with the fallout, the cause and effect of it, right? What did it do? Was it good? Was it not good? I may be taking a risk. I may be taking a chance. I might fuck this thing up big time. And, you know, I thought it was going to turn out good and it doesn't turn out good. Like, all of that then is put on our shoulders. And then you got the people that they'll disagree with that and be like, well, you shouldn't carry that weight in your life. Like, why don't you just stay working for GM for the rest of your life and get a check and retire at 56 or whatever the hell the age is that people retire at?
I wonder how many people out there, not just listening to this show, but out there, period, are staying in a job or something that they loathe just because of the safety that comes with the fact that it's not on me, it's on somebody else. Man, I guess I never really thought about that. Like, people sticking around and doing something because then you can't. But when you say, I'm going to become an entrepreneur, I'm going to start my company, and this is what I want to do, it becomes on you to do it.
Well, listen to two things that were told to me. When I, you know, the story about when I was driving the forklift, right?
Yes.
My uncle told me to stay with that job because they gave me all the overtime I could work. So everybody's legally only allowed to work so many hours overtime, right? They would let me work the fulfillment of that time. When I was thinking about going to work for somebody else, I asked him his advice, and he said, do they give you overtime? And I said, yes. He said, I would always stay with the place that gave me the most overtime. So he was discouraging for me to take an up level in my life, to go do a different job, to stay with the overtime. If I had made that decision, I mean, I was making like $11 an hour when I worked at that company. If I stayed there driving a forklift, I would have been nothing. I would have gone nowhere. I would still be driving a forklift for that company if I was still even alive. Like, I can't even imagine. The second thing was, when I did leave that company and I went to work for somebody else, that company was a union company. I got paid more money. It literally tripled my income. People said to me, you got a good union job. Stay there for the rest of your life, right? Stay for there for the rest of your life. Don't screw this up, right? You're set. You're set. You can have a pension. You can retire early. You're still young. You know, you're set. And I remember when I was first told that, I had a sinking feeling in my stomach, like, fuck, I do not want to do this for the rest of my life. I got to figure this out, and I got to figure it out now. So I had a sense of urgency under me too. And I did a good job for those people. Now I really was dedicated to turning myself around. I did a good job, but there was no way. Like, I didn't have enough self-esteem to say, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm going to use this as a stepping staircase to get to where I ultimately want to go, because I realized I messed up the front end of my life here. So I need to figure that out. I didn't have enough self-esteem to push back and say at that point that, but that's what it was going on in my mind at that time. So yeah, I was, I was told to just stay there. Just ride.
So many people,
ride it out.
Yeah,
man.
So many people just are doing that.
Ride off into the retirement sunset at 65 with a pension check and Social Security. And
it's true.
Downgrade your life at that point, because you don't need a big house anymore. And you don't need two cars. You get yourself a little Peugeot or something that you can ride around. I don't know.
Well, I'm grateful that you did make that decision. Although I just had a thought. There's not a lot of forklift podcasts out there, so you probably would have crushed it in that space. Maybe we should do an episode from a forklift. No. You can lift me up on the forklift, and we'll just do all sorts of donuts in the parking lot. Yeah. That would be amazing.
I can drive a badass forklift.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. No, that's great. Okay, well, we're up to time. So any last words you want to say about the concept of work-life balance? And
this
how
is radical honesty. This
radical
is
honesty.
Radical honesty. That the only way to get there is radical honesty. And radical honesty will force you to look at the truth. Then it becomes easier, right? Because at first it's scary to look at the truth because you have to accept responsibility for the outcome. But as you do it, it starts to become easier. And the easier that it becomes, the more you can accept and the more you can step into whatever your purpose is. So everything's about, there's when it says, again, I go back to biblical things because there's so many real truths there, though. It says, what is it? Thou shalt not tell a lie or something like that.
Yeah, sure. it's
about not telling a lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Be truthful to who
be
you
true
are.
To you.
And that's it. When you're there, like, you'll walk around with a smile on your face all your days. I have problems in my life. I have some big problems in my life, but not from a negative perspective. Those problems that I have are challenges that I've created that I want to overcome so I can go further, so I can reach more people, so I can attempt to do more good. Like, it's not up to me to say that I did good. It's up to the people to determine whether I did something good out there. I believe I'm doing something good out there. But, how much that is or how big it is, it's yet to be seen because I'm still here. So, it'll be the legacy that I leave.
It's working out all right.
So far.
So far, so good. All right. So here's what I got. Radical honesty, accept, and don't regret. I think that puts a bow on this episode. Thanks for coming inside.
You got it.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.